get it off, let it off, shut it off, get it off, let it off, shut it off, get it off, let it off, shut it off, get it off, let it off.
Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow.
Whole way long. The whole way long.
This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
Damn right you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio. What the fuck you think you were listening to? What you think, you just accidentally stumbled on some high-profile, psychological, knowing where you're coming from and where you're going type show? This is the N, the P, the R, and I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a.
Nestorius.
That's motherfucking right. And that was my man Simon motherfucking Kaufman. What's up?
Oh, you know, just out here for another night at SkidRowStudios.com. Fun to be here. Glad to be here.
You know it. You know, and who's that beautiful girl to your left right there? You know, we got a guest co-host over here. Ooh, beautiful lady.
It's me, Rich. Oh, wait. Rich, wrong one. Beautiful lady.
It's me.
Julie Giacomo.
Hello, hello.
What's up, mama?
You're up.
I'm up. Oh, up. Shit, she's passing the buck.
You got that smoky voice.
Yeah. She got a smoky voice. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
And this is my man Rich. Rich Corbin. What's up, baby?
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
And everybody in the room, too.
Yeah. Big the fuck up, you motherfucker. That's right. If you're listening live, if you're home, if you forgot to wash your underwear, you didn't buy no more grapefruit juice for the morning, you ain't got nothing to live for, holla at your motherfucking boy. Call 1-800-893-9562. It's good for you. You know what I'm saying? We were talking earlier, yesterday, I think we were talking about, like, Rich and I were talking about, like, you know, inappropriate fucking situations that you kind of, like, you know, when you're young and like there's a gay dude and the gay dude is, like, trying to come on to you. You know, you're like young and naive and you don't really know how to handle the situation. You know what I mean? And we've all had that experience. Not just a gay dude, a gay woman in your case, Julie, I'm sure. But
you thought this was just going to be a church service.
Well, yeah. You thought you were just, like, doing your fucking Holy Communion and you, like, the, you know, you get touched inappropriately in your inner thigh and you're like, you're thinking, wait a minute. That I thought I was supposed to get, like, the body of Christ on my tongue. What is that?
What whose is body that? Is this?
Like,
on
what
my
is
tongue?
That? What is that?
You get the hand of Christ on your inner thigh.
No, but I'm saying, like, what is that tingly sensation I'm feeling on my inner thigh?
I hope it's my ferret.
But I'm saying it's weird. It's a weird feeling. But you're too young and you don't know what to say. You don't know who to say. And it's, you know, it's a fucked up thing. But Rich was telling this whole thing started. This whole thing started because Rich
man,
was.
I'm not telling you shit anymore. You're just gonna bring it into.
I just thought that something like this had always happened or has happened to many of us many different occasions.
Too many times.
Yeah, well, not too many, but I mean, because when you get a little older, you know boundaries, and you're like, yo, you fucking look at me one more time like that, I'm slapping you in your fucking head. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really happen that often. But when you're young, my man Rich, my man Rich was at a gathering of actors when the poor redhead boy just moved out to L.A.
Oh, the ginger.
You know, when the poor ginger just walked out, you know, drove out from Colorado to Los Angeles to pursue his fucking dreams of fame and glory. So he's in the Los Angeles School of Dramatic Arts. You know, he's doing the right thing. He's memorizing lines. He's repeating. He's listening. He's really responding to every moment, you know what I mean, as all true actors do. And, you know, there's a little gathering at one of his actors' friends to watch a movie or some shit, and he's sitting down with you know, the place was packed. He's sitting down when this guy, Pedro, who, by the way, is not Latino, reaches over.
That's fishy.
It's fishy right there, right?
You know? The dude looked like he walked out of a fish concert.
Like, yeah, he looked like a Grateful stage, Dead man. Motherfucker. Yeah.
He should be called Hydro, not Pedro.
Right.
Confused, man.
Yeah, or Sucko, not fucking Pedro. So, you know, they're watching the movie, and Pedro fucking takes his hand and reaches over and puts it on fucking Rich's thigh. God, take it over, Rich. But yeah, give us the condensed version. Because I wouldn't get around.
You know, so it's a room. It's packed. There's people laying on the floor. There's nowhere else to go. This dude's next to me, and all of a sudden the hand pops up. What do you do, man? You know, and here's the thing. I didn't know. I don't know these guys. Like, I just
you know one person.
Guys. Yeah, one person. I got invited to the party. I didn't want to piss somebody off or whatever. I don't know. So. Whatever. And the hand saw, what do? You're like, shit. So you think about it for like 30 seconds, and then I politely grabbed his hand and put it over there. Right. I figured, okay, maybe this guy had a little bit to drink.
And he doesn't know.
Too much to drink, he doesn't know.
Right.
Maybe he thinks I'm his wife.
30 seconds later, the hand goes back.
The 30 seconds, yeah. The hand goes back.
It goes back, and then it starts crawling back up. I'm like, what the hell?
Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a poor, redheaded, innocent boy.
A lot quicker, you just grab that hand, and you, like, throw it back, let him know and all that. But then the hand comes back and goes even further.
Third time.
Stop right there. Yeah, third time. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Everyone there was white, right? Pretty much.
Oh, it was mixed. Everybody.
Were there any black and Puerto Ricans in there?
Yeah, they were. It's a mixed variety of bag of nuts.
Because if that happened in my neighborhood, he would have got stabbed. The movie would have happened. Seriously, the movie would have happened. My man would have been there shanked, gushing blood. Motherfuckers would have woken up and be like, what happened?
Yeah, but you got a room full of sensitive actors. You know? You got to be, you know, and you don't want to like, oh, Rich is homophobic or whatever. I mean, you know, and.
But that's the thing.
Like, this has ever happened to me before, too. So
you think he was cute?
He would, you know, I mean, if I was into fish, you know,
he wasn't.
He
was real skinny, had a big shaggy goatee, and he's like a, you know.
If you want to be touched and you're a straight man, you want an Adonis looking motherfucker.
Yeah, you know,
you know what I mean?
Like,
you want a Winston model.
Shit, I gotta work
you know what I mean?
More.
You want to be like, all right, so I'm not gay, but this fucking hot ass motherfucker, he thinks I'm worthy of being touched by him. Okay, I'll let him go.
Yeah.
But if it's some fucking fat, scraggly fucking hat you can't afford any fucking shaving cream, you're gonna get stabbed.
This guy was just too high and too drunk to know any better.
So you get up.
As soon as the third time, I like, pow, popped right up out of the seat.
And everyone's like, Rich.
What's wrong?
No,
what's
diarrhea.
Wrong?
Diarrhea.
Rich.
Oh, you know, I just need some air.
Rich.
I just need to get out.
Rich, sit down. You're making us uncomfortable.
Well, that was later. I went outside. You know, I smoked a cigarette. I was like, oh, shit, what the fuck do I do? You know, now it's like your manlyhood's in the line. Do you beat them up? You don't, you know. So I walked back in.
Did you think of maybe just going with it?
No. I, you know, now, maybe now, but you know, I'm a little more open. But no, so I walked back in the room and I saw him sitting there and the spot was still there. And I'm like, oh, but there's people laying everywhere. There wasn't like, I couldn't really sit down. It would have been really weird, uncomfortable. So I stood there and I just watched the movie standing up. I'm just standing.
That's not
and
awkward.
And they're like, you okay, Rich? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, I've been sitting all day. You know,
and when the movie was over, there's a big puddle of urine on the floor. And everyone's like, what is that, Rich?
Yeah. Oh, you know.
I've been sitting all day
forward.
Having an erection.
Fast forward to the fucking.
Oh, yeah.
So
this is the first time. It's kind of weird how all this stuff works. I ended up working at this other
BB King's
up at City Walk.
Right.
And
this is a few months later, 6-7 months, right?
Yeah, this is a few months later.
Right.
I'm working there. Actually, well, I had been hired, but finally, a few months later, this dude, Kip, gets hired.
Right? Kip. He's one of the dudes that was at the party.
No, he wasn't at the party.
Okay.
This is, Kip just starts working there. Hey, you know, you should come out. You're really cool. Let's go to, you know, we'll hang out. My girlfriend works over at Freddy's 35.
Have some drinks, whatever.
Have some drinks and this and that. Cool. All right. And we start hanging out. And then we meet Pedro. Now, here's the thing. It was kind of dark. I have a bad memory of shit like that. So I wasn't 100% sure this was the same Pedro.
Right. But you knew in the back of your head.
I just knew the dude was a little off. But he never hit on me. He never did anything or any. This whole like. And this was like. We were hanging out 6 months and all that. So now there's a party. It's towards the end of the school year. We're having a party, you know, and all that. And Kip and Ashley live, and Pedro, they all live together. They live in the same apartment building as this guy that was throwing a party that I went to school with. That's how this guy, Pedro, ended up at that first party. He tagged along with one of the, you know, with the guy who went to the academy.
Right, right.
Creeper.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So fast forward to the fucking big cock.
So when did you kiss him? So listen, so we're at this party, we're drinking, Pedro's there, Kip and Ashley and all that. I get drunk, pass out, and wake up, I don't know where the fuck. I wake up in the morning and everybody's running around, freaking out and all this stuff. I'm like, what the fuck, what happened? I'm like, oh, you never guess what happened. I'm like, what happened? Pedro, he fucked up. Now, there's a dude, he's like 6'5", black dude, nicest guy in the world, will give you, and obviously gave Pedro a super hall pass, or, you know, a super pass, like, okay.
What happened?
Because
what happened?
Because this dude woke up. Pedro apparently had pulled this dude's dick out of his pants.
Right, right.
In the morning.
Like most closet homosexuals would do. Because, I mean, that's the normal thing.
Well, sometimes, you know, you just got to whip
guy woke
another
up
man.
With Pedro fondling his fucking dick.
His big black
it's
dick.
It's kind of not fair to other closet homosexuals.
No, I'm saying.
Can you imagine, though, waking up after drinking, hard drinking, and you're on the couch, and you look down, and there's this scruffy fish-looking motherfucker playing with your fucking dick.
And Leroy's, what the fuck you doing, man?
No, he was like, what? Pedro, man, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Seriously. Oh, I just really wanted to see what it looked like. I was curious. That's a... Man, you seriously need to fucking get the fuck out.
You know what the theme song to this whole thing is?
Why?
And then it all put together. Ying. I met that dude. And then we all started talking about what Pedro did to me 8 months
later. Right, and it was your fault because as you punched him in the fucking head,
maybe I could have cured him for that.
He would have fucking learned not
is that
to
a
be
cure
fucking
for being gay,
with nobody
punched in the head. if you smack him really hard.
Maybe he could have. I don't know. Maybe he's never had any serious.
No. If you punched a dude in the fucking
he'll
head.
Be gay,
in front of everybody,
about it.
He might think twice about trying to find out what a black dude's dick looks like in the middle of the night.
You know what the theme song to this is?
What?
Ying, 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 ying.
What?
I met a white man named Pedro. He told me to sit down.
He put
big
fat
his hand on my leg. I met a white man named Pedro.
Richie's fault. He let me suck his big fat cock.
I wasn't the guy. It's not like what?
I should have punched
now
him in his
jaw. Now it's my responsibility
well, yeah,
to set him straight. Because I talked to Kip and Ashley later. I'm like, what's up with that dude? Now I know it was
him.
What's
up with that dude is that no one slapped him or punched him in the head. No one's put him in his place. That's what's up with that dude.
She said that he gets a little too drunk and a little too high.
Drunk? That's an excuse, man.
And we'll try to get affection from anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not gay.
I had too much Zima. Come on.
Nah.
It doesn't. And I think there was Zima at that party.
So we had a conversation. It's like, what is it about, like, gay dudes that always want to try to convert a straight dude or want to at least, you know, like, you sure you're not gay? Would you ever try? So fast forward to Rich. He's high. And then he's high. And this fucking dude goes, hey, man.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever considered, you know, experimenting with being gay? Like, do you think, like, maybe, you know, a shaved cock with, you know, like, nice balls might suit you well at some point in your future?
All right,
We don't have to do it right now, but at some point.
I think you're embellishing a little bit on that. But here's the thing. We finished a show. I was stage managing. Director was like, it's tradition. You got to smoke pot with me at the end.
Right.
So smoke pot, go to the after party.
You get fucked up out of your mind.
Right before, because everybody's doing speeches and handing out prizes and all that. And right before that happened, one of the dudes in the show was like, hey, can I talk to you for a second outside? I'm like, yeah, sure, man. What's up? I go out high as fuck. I don't do pot well. I'm paranoid.
Everybody's looking at me. Oh my God.
He pulls me out. Hey, you know, I just had to say this because it was such a great time working with you on this show. And I think I just had to tell you that I really think that you're really attractive. And if you ever thought about being, you know.
Pedro said that?
No. This was another dude. I get hit on a lot.
Because we live in L.A.
Probably. That's what Nestor was saying.
I want a piece of that.
So,
well, I'm going to tell you my theory on that.
You're exotic.
I'm fucking stoned. And I'm like, you know, I don't know, man. I was just, look, I really appreciate where you're coming from, but I am too fucked up to even consider anything what you're talking about. You just, seriously, it's the wrong fucking time. Let's just call it today. You picked the worst possible moment to pull me aside and talk to me about that. And then cut to me walking right into the bar and then, stage manager and fucking tears your t-shirt, speech. 2 seconds ago, some dude is telling me how he really wants to fucking, you know, like hook up with me. It just always happens at the wrong possible moment.
Well, you know, living in New York, God. I've been hit on by gay guys a lot, but there was one time I liked it. You want to hear the story?
Please. But just kind of give us the Cliff Note version.
Okay, so check this out.
Yeah.
I had just moved to New York. I was going out to a party to meet. There was going to be a ton of beautiful women, all these people. I was dressed up, but I was a little nervous because I was just in New York. I didn't really know what was what, and I'm trying to, like, fit in and this and that. And I remember it was summertime. I'm wearing a T-shirt. I'm walking down the street, and I was a little unsure of myself. I was like, oh, man, there's going to be some beautiful women there, da-da-da. I'm walking down the street, and I'm walking, and these two gay guys, maybe a little couple, walk by me, and as they passed by me, they both looked at me.
They both turned around.
They both looked at me, and they walked by, and one of them says to his little boyfriend, he's like, okay.
Ay, papi, pero ese judío se ve bien lindo. No, he goes, so cute.
No, he goes, okay, see, now that is hot, okay? Now that is hot. And I thought to myself, I was like, that's right, little gay man in a sailor outfit. That is hot. Thank you.
But that's
a
compliment.
But I felt more confident. I remember I kept walking. I was like, yeah, fuck that. Little gay guy wearing sailor shorts thinks I'm hot.
If I don't get laid with all those hot women,
I went out with confidence.
The least I could do is go back to his house and, you know.
No, but I mean, it gave me the confidence to go.
There's nothing wrong with somebody complimenting you. If they're gay and they caught, oh my God. You know, it's just when they try to convert you or try to sway your, like, they know me better. Oh, I could tell that, you know, there's just something about you that you might think of. Come on.
We were talking about like what makes like a dude, like, you know, a gay dude wanna like think that it's a possibility. And I thought, well, for one thing,
it's a challenge.
Well, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're a gay man, you can get a gay man. What's the big deal? But getting a straight guy is like a prize. But then getting a straight guy that's redheaded, like fucking Rich, that's like an ultra red. That's like an ultra prize. You know what I mean? That's like, real.
Is that's there like the not shit. A huge redhead gay? Is there like a low percentage of redhead gay guys?
No, there's a low percentage of redheads. Period.
Right. Okay.
It's not gay guys or straight guys. Right. It's like you guys stand out,
dude. If you can snag a Nigerian albino.
Yeah, forget
that's
it.
Huge.
Yeah,
that's huge.
If you can convert a Nigerian albino to be gay and be straight,
that's
forget
huge.
It. That's the prize right
no,
there.
But you know, in all fairness, guys, I mean, if you think about it, it's not an easy thing that. It's not easy what a lot of gay people have to go through, because if we go out to a bar or a club and, you know, we see a woman, we just have to decide, is this one I want to talk to or is this one I don't want to talk to?
Right.
They have an extra barrier. They have to decide, okay, is this someone I want to talk to? Is this someone I'm even possible to talk to? Is this someone that is, isn't, da-da-da? So I'm sympathetic that, like, it's a lot harder. I mean, they're dealing with a much smaller pool, you know, and
you can't just go to any bar and hit on somebody because they might not be gay or whatever, you know, like that's
I'm
why
saying it's more difficult for
them. It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sympathetic to that.
No, I get it. I got mad love for, you know, gays, straights, blacks, whites. I mean, I don't give a fuck.
How much mad love?
Just mad love, man. I got respect for all those people, especially gay men and women that have a hard time. Specifically, we're not even debating that type. That's a completely different topic. I mean, we've all been hit. I mean, back east in New York, the pickup line Chelsea. That a gay dude would be like up to you, like, "Hi, Nesta, how you doing? Hey. Did anybody ever tell you you look gay?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, but
well, you know,
unfortunately, I'm not." You know what I'm saying?
As our society is opening up, and
hold on.
What?
What'd you
That's
say?
It.
That's it. You live in Westchester?
Oh shit!
That's it.
Well, as our society is becoming more accepting of the gay population, and they're becoming more part of society and more able to be out. Things like these will get better. Lines like this will not be so blurred.
That just happened to me. I mean, in New York, you know, growing up in the 80s, you know, if you're into music, if you're into a certain type of scene, dance music, you're going to go into some gay clubs. That's just the way it is, because that's where the action's at. You know what I mean? And there's, you know, I have a whole bevy of gay friends. It's not a big deal.
How many gay people I know are annoyed by straight people that try to turn them around?
Like, I'm sure.
You know,
I try to turn them into
turn
straight.
Me around. I'm pretty sure that she likes vagina. She's not going to suddenly decide she likes penis.
So tell me some sort of a boundary scenario that happened to you. I mean, you're a female.
Do you have boundaries?
How does that work? How does that work? Like, what? Like, same thing, but it's a little easier for women, no?
Well, yes and no, because a lot of times girls will be like, listen, I'm horny, you're horny. Let's just get each other off. And it just happens. Like, I don't personally mess around with any of my girlfriends, but I know a lot of them that do fuck each other, and their boyfriends can't handle it. They're like, you're cheating on me, you're gay. I'm like, no, I'm not gay.
No, but I'm saying,
it is cheating, isn't it? It is cheating, isn't it?
No, but I'm saying,
I don't really consider girls eating each other out as cheating.
If a boyfriend decides it's cheating, it's cheating. I mean, it's between them two to decide, you know?
I don't consider it cheating.
Well, that's another topic altogether. So you're dating somebody, and you eat a girl out, so that's not cheating.
It's not cheating if you invite him along.
Okay, all right, that's cool, but that's another thing.
It's weird because, like, in my mind, I don't think it's cheating, but if a guy does it to another girl, then I could send.
What if a guy does it to another guy?
So let me ask you again. So when you date a dude or you meet a guy or whatever, do you tell him straight up, listen, we're going to date, but if I eat a girl's pussy by accident, it's not cheating. I just want to lay that out on the line.
Yeah, and if I say, honey, we're dating.
Do you tell them that straight up?
I've never eaten a pussy, but I did used to have
some. You haven't?
No.
What?
No,
that's it.
Yo,
listen, my name is Maurice. I'm a transsexual from the Lower East Side, okay?
I'm not eating pussy. That's just weird looking.
Oh, nah. See, that's the difference.
But if a girl wants to eat mine.
I get it.
Bluto did it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honey, I know we're dating. I know we're really building a life together. But if something happens and I suck off a guy during the Redskins game, I don't think it's cheating. Come on.
Right. I got you.
Here's the thing, though. I made out with one of my girlfriends who was, like, super hot. We all grew up together. And my boyfriend was so pissed. And I was like, why are you mad? I'm like, she's fucking super hot. We just got drunk and made out. And he was like,
because you gave it.
He wouldn't let it go for months.
Stop
being a bitch.
Girls
I made
and
out
guys.
With her.
Because you gave
gorgeous.
Affection to her.
I don't have affection. I just like getting drunk and making out.
Come on.
Should be glad that I made out with a girl and not another guy.
Nah.
Because then
if you love someone, if you really love someone, you don't want to watch them giving love and affection to someone else.
It's not love. It's just drunk and making out. It's completely different.
No, he loved you is what I'm saying. And when you love someone.
True that.
If you love someone, then you don't want to see them giving that love and affection
to
someone else.
Well, he didn't see me do it. I told him.
And it was on the internet.
Well, hold on. This is not love lines.
I'd probably be very well paid if
this is not love lines, motherfucker. We're talking about if you're chilling out with a girlfriend and she starts making a pass on you.
Oh.
Or did she make a pass on you?
No.
Or did she rub her hands on your inner thigh? Did you wake up in the middle of a night or in a blackout and a chick is sucking on your titties? Something like that.
Sucking on my titties like you want. Wanted me, calling me all the time.
So, I mean, stuff like that. That ever happened to you? How did it feel?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend. She was a really good friend of mine. She always got drunk and tried to fuck me. Mm-hmm. I was like, no.
So she tried to convert you?
Not convert me. No, she's not gay. She just loves fucking everything.
Really?
Yes.
That's not gay.
No.
Okay.
No. She would fuck guys, girls.
All right. Got it.
Go out to the bar and she'd be like,
newsflash.
She'd go, Julie, I'm sorry. I gotta go. And I'm like, what? Gone. In a taxi with some guy she just met. Gone. We went to a gay bar in Chelsea. And, you know, we're dancing, having fun. All of a sudden, she's like, I'm gonna get two. Mm-hmm. She's like, those guys over there. And then you see them fighting and smacking each other. And, like, one guy storms off. And the other guy kind of, like, follows him with his hands out. Like, come on.
Yeah, it was like National Geographic with two gorillas fighting.
I don't know if it's gonna go anywhere. But, see, what if Pedro was... like an unattractive woman, a woman that I wasn't attracted to, and she kept doing that shit. You know? Because Pedro apparently wasn't gay. He was just a dude that was like too drunk and too high and just. So
bullshit.
It's just another person. No, it's just another person
so what happened?
Showing affection to
so
her.
So you think you would have treated her differently?
I called it inspection.
No, I'm saying you think you would have treated Pedro a little different?
if she had a
would
beard?
It be such a would it be as a would we have been talking about it? Would we have been talking about it if it was
because that's not the conversation we're having on the Nestorius Public Radio Show. We're talking about, you know, uncomfortable moments and shit that you don't know how to handle. You know what I mean? So in your case,
but see, your girl wanted to fuck you,
right?
And she was of the same sex, but you didn't want to,
right?
No,
and you're still friends with her.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
What see, if a dude did that to me,
and he was my best friend, or he was a friend, or if I knew him, that's it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. And that shit would stop right there. I mean, there was a kid that I grew up with. His name is Bruce. Black
women,
kid.
Women are beautiful. Women are walking pieces of art.
That's like, fucking gorgeous, too. Look at us.
Nasty, hairy,
no, that's
like,
not the point.
Stinky men trying to touch me. Now, that's another story.
No, but that's
not
the point.
Fucking hairy, dirty
whatever,
ass
I'm gorgeous.
It depends on what, it depends on, it no, depends on what you're attracted to.
That's not the point.
Right.
What you deem attractive.
Right.
That's not the point. That's not the point.
No, okay.
Eso no es el punto. El punto es.
Oh.
El punto es. Que when I was a kid, I was in kindergarten, there was this guy, Bruce. Now, Bruce was a little bitchy fuck. At the time, you don't know he's gay or not. He's just, you know, he's very nasty and, you know, he'd hit you and stuff like that. So, right. So I was afraid of him, you know what I mean? As a kid in kindergarten, first, second, third grade, I was afraid of him, right? Fast forward to high school, you know, I see Bruce and, you know, now I'm in an all black and Latino high school. It's a little rough. You know, you don't, you know, you your guard is up and, you know, shit like that. And I see Bruce, and Bruce approaches me, and he's like, I'll suck your dick for $5. Or, you know, let me suck your dick for $5.
He's going to pay you, or he wants you to pay him?
No. He said, let me suck your dick for $5.
He's going to pay you?
Correct.
What?
Right. So,
loose Bruce
just put
wants
this
to fuck
wig
you.
On.
You put
no, so,
a five
so,
on it.
So, first of all,
I got five.
He had an extra
$5.
Now, first of all,
sucking with Nestor's penis.
Wanted
I got
physical.
Five on
first
it.
First of all, I don't need $5. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
do I hear 10? Do I hear 10? Do I hear 15?
You into a prostitute, Nestor.
No, I don't need $5, number one. Number two, like having a little twerpy, kind of ugly little black dude wanted to suck my dick. That's the last thing on my to-do list. You know what I'm saying?
Remember Menace to Society?
No. But
I'll suck your dick.
I got these cheeseburgers.
No, but what I'm saying is, from that point on, see, I kind of lost. Up until that point, I knew Bruce as my experience in, you know, kindergarten. On the first, second, third grade. At that point, Bruce can never look me in the eye as we were walking by, you know, the hallway. He would walk by me and he put his head down.
Yeah, it's just loose Bruce. It's no big deal.
It's inappropriate shit. You know what I mean? Some guys, and then the guys in my neighborhood say, yo, did Bruce offer you $5 to suck your dick? it happened to all the dudes. You know what I'm saying?
How many guys said
oh,
yes?
Oh, I said, yeah, did he do that to you? And Mel was like, yeah. So everybody did that. And truthfully, truth be told, he's lucky that he didn't get slapped up because we did go to a fucked up high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he needs to up the ante.
Like $15.
Like a $5 and a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Like $20 and a nickel bag of fucking dirt weed. Some
there you
shit.
Go.
You know what I mean?
There
it's
you
the
go.
80s.
There
you know
what
I mean? You want a cheeseburger.
Yeah. A quart of Old English 800. Some shit. Something to wash back the fucking, the embarrassment that you're going to have after fucking you see Bruce walking away.
I'm going to need more, Bruce. I'm going to need more on you.
Yo, so Jeremy, I want to ask you, did you ever have an experience like that? Did you ever have like an inappropriate experience? Jeremy's the our radio.
Well, I lived in San Francisco,
so that's that happened everywhere at the taco stand, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty common.
No, I'm just saying, did anybody actually touch you? Or
touch
some
me?
Shit?
I'm trying to. I did have a fucked up experience.
You did.
See,
we all have.
It comes.
Yeah, but this was partly my fault and partly their fault. We both
you shouldn't
we both share the blame
chaps.
On this one.
Okay, so what happened?
So I was really, really drunk at a bar in San Francisco in the Tenderloin, the neighborhood I lived
good
in.
Good times, good times.
Yeah, and I met a what I thought at the time was a woman, and everything was cool.
Right.
She told me stories about how she used to work at the hospital I was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, and like showed me a picture of it and everything.
You were born in Honolulu?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went home thinking, oh, cool. I met a cool chick.
Right.
Set up a second meeting.
Sure, date.
Sober.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking reality set in.
Right.
And I panicked.
Right.
I went to this bar and it was clearly a man,
tranny. It was Maurice.
Yeah, it was
Mauricia.
Yeah, exactly.
I kissed the dude and
I panicked and I literally was like, I don't know what to do and just fucking split.
Yeah. Oh.
That was it.
Have you ever been so fucked up in a club, like so fucked up that at that point you don't give a fuck? Like if there's a transsexual, you're like, you know what? I'm fucking it tonight. I don't give a fuck.
But I've never gotten to that point.
You didn't know.
I've never wanted to bang a tranny.
No.
You didn't know you? It was a trans.
He didn't. No, he didn't.
I didn't know the first time. That was legitimate. Like, right. I was drunk. I thought it was a woman.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Aww.
Right. That's all right. I mean, that's cool.
I mean, I have no problem with trannies, nothing like that. I go to fucking tranny bars because they pour strong drinks.
Yeah. But, and then you have fabulous makeup. Yeah. Fabulous makeup.
Hey, yo, listen, you know, like, I ain't got no problems with trannies and shit. You know, like, like you a chick with dick and all that, and I got mad love and shit. But, yo, I don't be fucking with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, mad props and shit to you, man. But, yo, I don't, yo, God bless, man. I don't be fucking with that shit.
That is the nicest compliment when I was in the bathroom at gay night at this club. Gay night! Loved it! And, and the trannies, they look down at me and they're like,
"Hey,
I love your makeup, girl.
Hey,
great.
Hey, macho man!" Anyway.
Again and again.
And again and again. You remember the fucking Village People, man? Those are my idols growing up. That's before you knew what was gay. You know what I mean? You remember those dudes?
Dude, I loved the Village People growing up.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. I was like, these guys are crazy. They're all dressed as different. But see, when I was, I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Big up to the Village People.
I still love them, though.
Bringing gay music to those that don't know what's gay, man. Big up. Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's crazy shit, you know.
Well, there's a lot of musicians. I mean, George Michael.
Is he gay?
Yeah, George Michael's gay.
Oh, he's gay?
He got caught in the bathroom. You didn't know that?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. George Michael.
Heterosexual.
Like if George Michael, like if I fell asleep next to George Michael and I felt his hand in my thigh, I might leave it there. You know what I'm saying? I might be like, fuck it. I know that's inappropriate, but you know what? Fuck it. I want to see what he does. You know what I mean? Or Justin Timberlake. You know what I mean? Paula.
You know who I love? I love, Karma Chameleon.
Boy George, man.
Boy George, yeah.
I had a crush on him when I was a kid. I still have a crush
Everybody
on him.
Everybody did.
Now.
Everybody did.
He's cute.
Well, I think regardless, I think it's good that, you know, in Western society, we're beginning to become, you know, allow gays.
More open to more open inappropriate behavior.
No, to gay culture. What I'm saying is the more we accept gays, the less inappropriate behavior there will be. I've always believed that.
A lot of the
craziness that
the
you see with
the gay shit happens because people got to hide out to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think the more the rest of our society becomes more accepting of the gay culture, the more we integrate them, the more stereotypes, barriers will be broken down,
yep,
and then we can all get it on.
Well, I, you know, maybe it's a shitty analogy, but look at weed. Nobody gives a shit anymore about weed.
I'm fucking sick of getting stuck behind the assholes on weed.
Yeah.
It doesn't know where the fuck they're going. Everybody's driving slow as fuck.
Like,
uh-uh.
If you're saying you take all that taboo away, you take the taboo away about pot, you're just like, oh, I'm going to smoke some weed. Nobody gives a shit.
Well, think of all the times in history.
Weed, don't drive.
Then it's easier to accept. It's more, it's just commonplace, and then we can move on with our lives.
Yeah, I agree.
At 5 miles an hour.
I agree with what you said, Simon. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I mean, the more accepting we are of other people's differences, the less people have to fucking do shit on the sneak and try to, you know. But also, there's the second part of that is, you know, people need to be taught boundaries, you know. And that means little kids, little boys, little girls, you know, being educated and knowing that certain things are not acceptable so that they grow up knowing what should not be happening, and you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Well, but think about times like in the Greeks and Romans and in Macedonia where there was a lot more homosexuality. A lot of what drove it underground was the church and being burned at the stake. Let's be honest.
Right.
But now that we're at a society where after the Renaissance, after emancipation, and after, you know, hundreds of years of of tolerance are beginning to come out of the fold, all of a sudden, it's not like the gays weren't here the whole time. It's just they would get burned at the stake.
No, you know, there was a competition. The church just wanted to hold the monopoly on the gays. That's why, exactly. They kept it.
They wanted to keep them behind the fucking altar.
That shit. Yeah. So they brought it in-house and told everybody else they can't do it.
Yeah,
it's like the Pope says, well, you know, we want men to be men and women to be women. And then you look at him, he's wearing a white dress. So I'm a little confused.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, moving right along, just, you know, teach your children boundaries and teach adults. Like, if Pedro comes to your bar and he starts playing that bullshit about he doesn't know, he wants to see what a big black dick looks like and stuff like that, punch him in the fucking head, okay?
Yo, but think about it for a second. Like, let's say you're a straight guy, you're coming up, you're a teenager, early 20s. Yeah. How do you hit on women? What's the appropriate way? I mean, it takes a lot of failure to learn the appropriate way to talk to women. Well, imagine for a gay person, like I'm telling you, they have a much worse time because
I got you.
Gay guys meet other gay guys, they drop trowel and they're happy as fuck.
I got you.
It happens. That's why they call them gay.
Yeah, it happens, but you're not gonna save everybody. At the end of the day, here's the moral of the story, then we're gonna move on. If Rich would have put Pedro in his place 7 months before,
Leroy's
cock would have been in his own pants, and there wouldn't have been all that hoopla.
I think his name was Dave.
Dave. Well, Big Super Dave.
I met a white man named Pedro. He's put his hand on my leg, and he backed, and then he asked me to drink a keg and put my dick on his mouth.
His head.
All right.
Poor Pedro.
All right. All right.
I don't know where that cat
Pedro,
is.
Pedro, if you're out there listening, call us here at Skid Row Studios.
Pedro, if you're in jail for raping people, call the station.
This is going crazy. Let's get back to something serious. I read this article. You know, last show we were talking about, you know, celebrities and people who move out to L.A. or people who are like fame whores. And, you know, some people get like really successful, and then for whatever reason they lose it, they fucking kill themselves, drug overdose, alcoholism, cop shit, jail, all sorts of crazy things, you know what I mean? So I ran into this article about Jennifer Lawrence, where Jennifer Lawrence is, I know she, you know, for those of you who don't know Jennifer Lawrence, she was in Silver Linings Playbook.
And the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. But she won the Academy Award for her role in Jennifer Lawrence. She's 24 years old, 23 actually. Really, really gorgeous girl. She was actually in another movie. I forgot what it was. It was about like white trash family in Appalachia. That was what put her on the map. I forgot the name, and forgive me for sounding moronic here. But
we do that a lot. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. She's beautiful, the whole nine yards. But she goes on Vogue, in Vogue magazine, and she's like basically saying, I'm not cool with this fame stuff. Like I don't like it when I walk down the street and photographers are all up on me. I can't walk down the street with my nephew. I can't go to Starbucks. I can't do this. This is part of what we were talking about in the last episode, where it's like, you know, again, before you embark on doing some shit like fame or whatever it is that you do, right? Falling asleep next to Pedro, whatever. Know what the consequences are. Do your research. I mean, not everybody who becomes famous, not everybody who becomes successful fucking, you know, jumps off a cliff and loses it. But do your research. Look at all these child actors. Look at all the child actors from the 70s. What's happened? What have happened to them and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
She's a beautiful girl.
She's gorgeous.
Being a beautiful girl, not famous, walking down the street is hard.
Right.
So,
but again, you got to set boundaries, okay? You got to set boundaries. And it's, I've known a lot of famous people, okay? And I know a lot of famous people. And they walk down the street and they live normal fucking lives, okay? I saw Captain James T. Kirk. What's his fucking name?
William Shatner.
William Shatner.
Oh, yeah.
On Tahunga and Moore Park. I was getting a breakfast burrito today.
My man
looks fucked up out of his mind. Disheveled, with flip flops, hasn't shaved. He don't give a fuck.
I love him.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you gotta fucking walk out. If you're a girl, don't shave under your armpits, smell like shit, just walk out and do your thing.
No, because
then you're right in the tabloid.
Like
if you're Jennifer Lawrence and you do that, oh my God, she's on a 3-day bender. She's fucked
but
up.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Publicity. These people are publicity whores because good or bad publicity is what makes your career. As long as you're on in the news, you're on the cover of some magazine, you're in some fucking tabloid, you're being spoken about, tweeted about on something, you're in demand. You understand? That's the business.
I understand. Now let me pose this that might not mean anything. But
pose it. Pose
look
it.
Look at 50 years ago.
50 years ago.
How were celebrities treated that way? Was paparazzi? Well, I mean, were they throngs of
yes,
of
getting photographers?
It's not right.
were they like that? I mean, maybe with the Beatles and
so
that
what
kind
happened?
Of glorified.
So what happened? What happened? What happened?
We lowered the bar.
There was just a little bit more.
What happened? I'm going to tell you.
Respect or
no.
There was more respect.
And you know what? There was more anonymity, and they were more stars. They had you didn't know what they had for breakfast. You didn't know what they looked like.
No. I'm gonna tell you what happened. Back then, there was the Hollywood studio system. You were a contract player, okay? Mm-hmm. MGM owned you for fucking 5 years. Within those 5 years, you couldn't do shit that wasn't approved by their publicity department. Everything was in-house, okay?
Yeah, but it still is.
Hold on. What happened when the demise of the studio system happened, let's say, for lack of a better word, actors, stars became free agents, right? They're no longer owned by the studio, per se. You're not in a contract for 5-10 years, right? So what happens is your career depends on publicity. It goes back down to that shit. So and this is just my opinion, my view of the whole thing. So the more publicity you get or the more fame you're in order to work in this business, you have to be current. If you're a woman in this business and you're 35, 40, your fucking chances of getting work are going to slowly diminish. If you're a 45, 56-year-old fat, bald motherfucker, you're going to work. It's a different thing. So, but women in particular, and men, you got to create some sort of drama. You got to be in the tabloids. You got to be in the forefront of gossip and bullshit. Because as long as you're doing that and as long as you're in there, you're in the eye. People are seeing you.
Yeah, but you're right.
Whereas back then,
but look at this article. This article specifically is talking about how she's trying to balance that.
Right.
How she's like, look, she's young.
Right.
And she says, you know,
I teed her on something
grateful because she's grateful for the press, but at the same time, she doesn't have a life. And she says, I know I have nothing to complain about. I shouldn't have anything to complain about, but it's just kind of fucked up. What's interesting is the very last line of this is that if I were just this average 23-year-old girl and I called the police to say there were strange men sleeping on my lawn and following me to Starbucks, they would leap into action. But because I'm famous, well, sorry, ma'am, there's nothing we can do.
Which is wrong. That's absolutely wrong.
Well, that's wrong. It's wrong. But then you got to look at it from the side of the police. First of all,
fuck the police.
No, they should treat everybody equally.
The police
were put there to protect the rich.
Let me tell you something. That bitch got more money than you and all of us. She should have a bodyguard. If she's that concerned about her fucking privacy, get a bodyguard.
But she still pays her taxes, and she still pays more taxes than a lot of people do because she makes a lot of money. So therefore, she should be able to make her choice. Just because she has money doesn't mean, oh, well, you've got money, you should be able to hire a bodyguard. No, I pay your salary, and I pay a lot of it, more than these fuckers camping out on my front lawn. So fucking come and get these fucking losers.
Yeah.
Because I mean, really?
She should carry
bullshit.
A gun. What's the problem?
Because you
that's
can't
bullshit.
Use your gun.
Why?
Why?
Just because start shooting motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They'll leave you alone.
It's bullshit,
fuck this.
And she has a really big point. She has a huge point about that where it is bullshit.
Well, let me read some of the article. It says, I teeter on seeming ungrateful when I talk about this, she says, but I'm going through a meltdown about it lately. I'm just starting to feel like a monkey in a zoo. Where?
Dance, monkey, dance.
Wherever she goes, the paparazzi and gossip hounds follow, taking her photo on the beach, on the street, at a restaurant, speculating about her love life and her career. All of a sudden, the entire world feels entitled to know everything about me, including what I'm doing on my weekends and when I'm spending time with my nephew. I don't have the right to say I'm with family. She knows it sounds obnoxious when the celebrities whine about their lack of privacy. She calls it a dangerous topic, but insists that her new normal, quote, is impossible to accept. I'm not going to find peace with it. If I were just the average 23-year-old, I'm going to call the police. That's what Richard just said. Hey, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, okay? It is an interesting dynamic.
She has a huge juggling balancing act that she has to deal
with.
But
you got to be honest. If you, let me tell you something. The long form of this article said that she knew she was going to be famous, right? She said she used to sleep in her bed looking at the ceiling stairs. She goes, she knew she was going to be a doctor or something or the other. Also, it says that, you know, she knew she was going to be famous. Well, you have to understand what fame means. Fame means you're going to get attention drawn to you. End of story.
Yeah, but listen, what you're dealing with is sociopaths. You're dealing with
this who make money. First of all, they should be shot.
Parasites.
No doubt. They're fucking scumbags.
Okay, Nestor, if I got a group of guys together and I started taking pictures of a cop.
Right.
Just on the street doing his beat.
You could do that.
Just
you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Oh, really? You don't think they would shut it down? Because they would throw some kind of bullshit.
No, they can't. It's
disturbing the peace.
No.
Obstruction of justice.
No.
I've been yelled at in New York for taking pictures.
No, you could take pictures.
No, but if you had 10 guys following a cop down his beat, taking pictures of this motherfucker.
If you were naked on top of the cop car jerking off and you were taking pictures, that would be a problem. But if you see cops, first of all, you're in public, number one. Number two, it's your constitutional right.
Number three, I'm in New York and the cops told me no and they almost had me escorted out of a building.
Right. And then you get your friend to take a picture of that and then you get a lawyer and then you fucking, you know, Mayor Bloomberg should do that.
But that's what I'm saying. The paparazzi, look, if you're nobody and you walk out and a bunch of people are taking your picture, fine. You know, like maybe you feel like a celebrity for 13 seconds or whatever, but nobody's going to do that just because you're a regular person.
Right.
But just because of their job,
right?
Why should harassment?
No. If
10 people surrounded me, not with cameras, but they started yelling at me, or they started like, how about snapping? They started snapping in my face,
right.
You know, and I'm trying to walk down the street. I'll be like, I don't know. I feel like I'm being assaulted because I got these 10 guys. Yeah. I'm feeling, you know.
Yeah,
that's that.
Don't get me wrong. The paparazzi.
That's wrong.
They're entering your circle.
No, the paparazzi are maggots.
Seriously.
They're just maggots.
Yeah, okay. Take it a step further. Why are there paparazzi? Because of retarded people who read People. Only retarded people read the magazine People.
No.
Only out-of-touch people read In Touch magazine.
No. Actually, no. You know what?
I'm telling you, the people that follow this stuff, that want to know, what's up with Kim? What's up with Tony?
Is Tony and
Susie getting married? Bitch, why are you calling by their first name? They don't know who the fuck you
are. It wouldn't be
$5,000
a photo.
Is Kimmy and Tony going to get married?
You can sell photos not just to the media, but you can sell photos to websites, whatever.
I'm not talking about paparazzi. I'm talking about the end user, the population.
Sure.
The people that are so miserable with their own weight, so miserable with their own hair that they have to comment on someone else's hair.
Yeah.
You know, who wore it better? Bitch, not you.
Right.
And you
what's she wearing?
That's interesting to people because they buy the fucking magazines.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that's the problem. The problem was with the populace. And what I'm also saying is this is showing
you. The populace.
What shows you how out of touch with reality and their own lives and their own sense of self-worth is, I forget what magazine, I think it's In Touch or Out of Touch or Shitty People magazine.
Whatever.
There's a thing that says, celebrities are just like us. I've seen it before. I don't know if you've seen it. What they'll do is, celebrities eat breakfast just like us. And then it'll say, Tom Cruise was eating breakfast in a restaurant.
Big up! Celebrities eat just like us.
Eggs what Benedict. I'm saying is, if you don't know that this person is also a person, it shows you how completely miserable your own psyche is, how out of touch you are with yourself, and you need to go in a restroom somewhere and touch yourself and go flush yourself down the toilet.
I went to school to be a massage therapist, and I was going I was taking all these chapters on kinesiology and all this stuff, and I never read that fucking shit. But because I had to read all of this doctoral stuff, I found myself reading crap because that's all my mind could handle was a little bit of crap magazine.
Just
because
to decompress.
I was learning about insertion and attachment of muscles.
But here,
you know? Worry about your own fat thighs. Don't worry about someone else's fat thighs if they're a celebrity.
Let me say, it's backfiring though, because look, back in the day when you didn't know really what, like the general population didn't know what the person's house looked like, what their fridge looked like, what car they were driving and all of that. That stuff, it wasn't so easily or readily available. There was a a mystique about the actors. There was a mystique about Cary Grant. There was a mystique about about these people.
Right.
And they were bigger than life. And when you went to the movie, it was even better. But now,
there were boundaries.
You see these fuckers picking up the fucking, you know, their fucking newspaper in their underwear and a paparazzi catches that spot. Right. Then you're like, well, then, the, you know, then these people aren't that amazing. And then you could give a shit about the movie as much.
But this is what I'm trying to say.
It's a big deal.
There was a time and a place for everything. Back then, there was publicity, there was press junkets, things that were done. And they weren't independent contractors. Believe it or not, a lot of these people, they love the attention. So it's almost like you can't have your cake and eat it too, on some level. You can't.
What? So then why the fuck am I having cake?
Well, then don't, I don't know, to throw it up again? I don't know.
They love the attention, but it was just a different...
I don't know.
They could live and they could control, you know, their image on some respect. You know?
I think
Cary Grant didn't smoke, but he's always got a cigarette because it was the fashion. But he didn't smoke.
Like Father Guido Sarducci?
Yeah, Cary Grant, Guido Sarducci.
Well,
you know, I'm not a big Cary Grant.
Montgomery Clift was gay. He didn't know. No one knew about it. It was
that point,
he was touching rich at parties.
Yeah.
At that point, you couldn't really come out and say it.
He played Pedro in the fucking remake of It's Uncomfortable.
Next.
Who played me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, look. We can argue this shit till the end of the day. Who's wrong? Who's right? Who has the right? Blah, blah. I totally believe and agree that paparazzi... There should be laws, and there should be fucking zoning laws and limit laws.
And electrical fences.
No, I'm serious. They should be,
there should be internment camps for paparazzi.
You shouldn't be allowed to go within X amount of feet of anybody.
Yeah, agreed.
I think that either the celebrity or the celebrity's bodyguard should be able to have a 2 or 3 foot cattle prod.
Yeah, or a BB gun.
If anybody gets in with that radius with a camera, you just start fucking, and I'm talking like a high-powered fucking cattle, a bull prod, something that'll fucking knock, you know, and break their fucking camera because, you know, that's the deal.
There's a documentary.
You're going to have a bubble of...
There's a documentary that came out in the 60s, and I can't, I don't remember the name of it. I'll post it in the show summary, but it was about this particular paparazzi, one guy in New York, who followed Jacqueline Kennedy, followed her, Jacqueline Kennedy on NASA, because this is after the president passed. And this motherfucker would follow her, and she was a very private woman, meaning, you know, she lived on the Upper East Side. She lived on 84th Street between Park and Madison, Park Avenue. Very private, you know, everyone knew her in the neighborhood. But this fucking guy would camp out next to the bushes, this shit. So this guy is like, he's credited with being one of the first fucks to actually do this type of shit. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's fucked up, man. That is fucked up. That is fucked up. But in the same token, if you're going to be walking around and you're really famous and somebody takes a picture of you with your nephew going to Starbucks, don't hate. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean?
Put your hand on your hip and smile.
Like, thank you. That's what I'm saying. Smile. That's it. That's all you got to do. Believe it or not, you do that enough, motherfuckers get tired. They get tired.
If it's Joe Schmo and you're at fucking Whole Foods, you come out, you're with your, you know, and someone, a fan or whatever, she would probably have no problem, you know, can I take a picture? She'll probably pose with you.
Yeah.
But it's really daunting because she's probably, I mean, she's not a big, tall person.
No, she's not.
So
she's a young girl. She's 23 years old.
When you've got guys coming at you with heavy equipment, and most of these fucks, they're big fat fucks, like
smelly,
shitty.
They look like Pedro.
They've been sitting in their own piss, waiting in their fucking car.
They look like the Iron Sheik.
Fuck you! I fuck my own ass.
That's intimidating and aggressive. You know, just running up. Try running up to somebody really fast, just a stranger, and see if you don't get punched.
Yeah.
You know?
See how that works out for you.
Let's switch this up a bit. There's another article I read, all right? And this one really fucked me up. You remember this dude, Ariel Castro, the fucking guy in Ohio that bound these three women. He kidnapped them, and he was doing all sorts of shit. The
dude got the dude who found him or helped him out found, got like a lifetime supply of burgers from a local burger joint.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that the dude? Oh yeah. You're right. It was a black dude.
Yeah.
You remember we were talking about this? That's funny. It was a black dude, and they gave him a year's supply.
He was a Canadian. He was a stand-up comic. I thought
they were like, Leroy, you're a good boy. Need to get yourself some free cheeseburgers for the rest of your life.
Well, she escaped, and he was walking down the street, and he said something really funny, if you remember.
Right.
He said, I knew something was wrong, because a white girl running up to a black guy in the middle of the street asking for help, that doesn't happen.
Something's wrong. Exactly. So this motherfucker...
And starts his comedy career.
So this is what happened. Ariel Castro was found... I'm going to read the article. It's not that long. Ariel Castro was found hanged in his cell at the Ohio Correctional Reception Center this week. Reception center. They make it sound like it's a fucking wedding hall.
Right? Yes.
Just over a month after he was sentenced to life in prison plus 1,000 years for kidnapping and rape of three Cleveland women. So he gets life plus 1,000 years, whatever the fuck
that is.
That's
such horseshit.
Yeah. The former school bus driver who hanged himself with his bed sheet was being held in protective custody alone at the time of his death. His guards were required to make rounds every 30 minutes. He would have been under constant observation had he been on suicide watch. Castro pleaded guilty in July to, get this, 937 counts, including kidnapping, rape, assault, and aggravated murder, as part of a deal to avoid the death penalty. Court testimony revealed that Castro chained the three women to poles in the basement and repeatedly starved and beat one of them each time she became pregnant, forcing her to miscarry five times. What a scumbag piece of shit. Motherfucker. Seriously.
It beats internet dating.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You really are
a fucking cockwide with that one. I tell you.
I mean, why even get an account where you can just, you know,
why even get a Twitter account? Poll? No. When I read this, I thought, good for him. Seriously, good for him that he hung himself, that fucking cocksucker piece of shit. Think about this. The article is, had he been on constant watch, right, he probably wouldn't have committed suicide. Like, why? You know how much this motherfucker would cost the prison system to keep alive? I'm glad he's dead.
But, however, I think that if he was avoiding the death penalty, and then he hung himself.
He wasn't going to get the death penalty.
He didn't want to get the death penalty.
No, he plea bargained.
Yeah, he plea bargained, and then he hung himself. That tells me, I think they killed him. Good.
Thank you for fucking making him hang.
No, you know, this is my thought.
You should tie him to a pole.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is my thought on the whole thing, is that this dude would have, if he hung himself because... He would have died anyway, and he would have had a really fucking miserable time in prison because the things that he did.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, but they would have put him in protective custody.
He wasn't protected.
No. They would have fucking got to him somehow, some way. He's going to have to interact with another prisoner.
He was in protective custody.
But he would have been fucked with. He would have been dead at some point.
But they should shank him. I mean, what's the fucking problem?
Our government always protects them.
I think that he took the easy way out because he should have been put in those miserable conditions.
But they're not going
to be tied to a pole.
Right.
He should have been made to stay alive.
They should have put him in a cage with Pedro and fucking locked the door and let the shit just fucking play out.
Look at this dude. Look at Castro's beard. They would have bearded up. No, it would have been worse for him. And he didn't pay anything for what he did.
I hear what you're saying.
In fact, I mean, for me, lights out is lights out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's not that he died, hooray, and it makes everybody else feel better.
No.
I would want this fucking guy to suffer. I would want him to be fucking miserable.
But how do you pay for what this fuck did, man? How do you pay?
You can't quantify that. You can't.
In protective custody, guaranteed three square meals a day, a la your fucking tax dollars. How is he paying?
You fuck with him, and he would, seriously, he would be dead. He would be dead within a year. He would.
He would,
and it would be a miserable fucking year for this guy because maybe a week goes by, nothing happens, and then out of the shadows, something fucked up will happen. Yeah. To
you make
guy.
Him. Oh, yeah. You make him work for MTA. You put him in a subway booth for the rest of his life. You chain him to the booth, MCA and he has to answer questions from tourists all day.
MTA is New York City.
Yeah, so you
Metropolitan Transit Authority.
That's how you torture
guards,
him.
Guards are honest. These guards have kids. These guards have families. They're going to turn a blind eye one day when he's in maximum. You know, when he's in protective custody.
He should have not been in protective custody. I'm with you. He should have been left in the.
But he wouldn't. He would have been in protective custody, and the guard would have turned a blind eye for 5 minutes, and he would have got the shit stomped out of him. He would have got fucked up. Yeah. And then this would have continued to happen until at some point somebody just fucking takes him out. And then that's how he should fucking go.
You with cut this, off his finger, you shove it up his ass.
Routine fucking torture. You know? He got out easy. Whoever was not watching the fucking barn on that time.
Not parentheses watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Not.
They fucked up.
They
let him take
up.
The easy way out.
I don't know. I
think they killed him.
I think
thank you for helping us and saving all the taxpayers' money.
That's a stand I took. I mean, you know, it just fucking trips me out.
I say you take him,
life in
you
prison,
bring him on the Nestorius Public Radio Show, you strap him to his chair, and he spends the rest of his life as our co-host.
Right. Exactly.
There are people. This guy should have been out baking in the sun, banging, you know, cracking rocks with a sledgehammer. This guy should have done some fucking hard labor. That's what they don't do anymore. They don't fucking make you go break rocks with a sledgehammer or do hard time. You know, mm-hmm. they don't make mm-hmm. them do this shit where life is fucking miserable. Make this guy fucking sit out in the hot sun and plant flowers on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You get a DUI, you're on the side of the road fucking doing shit. You know? And you drove drunk and you're on the side of the road fucking doing bullshit. These guys sit around in protective custody. Make them sit out in the fucking, make them break some rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Until, make them make marbles.
Make them wear pink and sleep in the desert.
Don't sit them in making fucking, in an air conditioned fucking machine shop making license plates, and that's hard labor with a fucking pneumatic press and shit like that. That's not hard labor.
Make them clap to this.
Make them.
Make them clap to this. Make them clap to this.
Anyway.
I got all serious. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
We like it when you get sadistic.
I like it when you get fucking riled up.
Yeah.
So here's something else to get riled up about.
It just pisses me off, man.
Here's something else. There's this company in Texas, a sign company. This fucking pissed me off. This kind of like, when I read this, I said, these motherfuckers are just, my hair stood up, and I'm like, I don't understand how these people get away with this shit. So there's a company in Texas called the Hornet Sign Company. And in order to promote how good their photo realism decals or sticker wraparound decals are, in order to promote how good their company is, they did this wraparound photo of a woman that's hogtied in the back of a pickup truck. So did you saw the picture?
Yeah, it's funny.
So
I have friends that would definitely put those on their cars.
I still got some of that sick teen fucking weirdness.
Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I've got it right in front of me. The half of me that is like, that's hilarious
But that isn't hilarious.
Is it a scratch and sniff? Does it smell like dead hooker?
No, but that isn't hilarious.
Does it smell like
I'm just saying part of my fucked up psyche or whatever, part of me is like, I know it's fucked up and it's terrible. I told you what happened with the people in front of me, and they played a prank, and I was pissed for 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Is it Hornet decal or Hornet?
It's Hornet. H-O-R.
Not Hornet?
No, not Hornet. Whore-net. No.
Okay.
That's the company you would work for, but this is Hornet.
You want to catch more whores?
Actually, look, you can go to huffingtonpost.co.uk or Google Huffington Post, and this is the title of the ad, of the article. It's Hornet Signs tailgate decal of hogtied woman promotes violence and rape culture. I just think it's fucking, it's in bad taste. But hey, here's the problem I have. So the owner says, well, that wasn't.
You don't think that's funny? That's what he should have said. You don't think that's funny? Come on.
Yeah, well, he was like, that wasn't our intention. But then the thing looks so good that people were calling police and that, you know, Brad Kolb is his name, K-O-L-B. I wasn't expecting the reactions we got, nor do we condone this by any means. It was more or less something we put out there to see who noticed it. See who noticed it? You're a fucking douchebag. Seriously.
Well, let me ask you, do you think something like that, they're saying it's condoning it, okay? And it's condoning rape and all that. And do you think subliminally it's saying, hey, rape is okay because, you know, this is it. I mean, do you think it's going to make somebody not think twice about raping somebody or not think twice about
raping somebody? No,
they're like, oh, it's condoning that.
Why don't you fucking put pictures of, you know, black guys, like a blackhead being, lynched? Why don't you put a picture of fucking, like, eight Jews being smoked out in a fucking concentration camp?
Gypsies and Russians were also fried.
I'm just saying, it's fucked up, it's in bad taste, and it's not professional.
Yeah, and one of the problems is we have a problem with rape in our society.
Thank you, that's the point.
And you have all these douchebag guys that think it's not...
It's funny. They think it's funny
and this and that.
So you think it just desensitizes us?
What was the article we just read before this article?
Thank you. What was the article?
What was, you know?
I forgot.
Ariel Castro, fat fuck ex bus driver.
So there are women being kidnapped and hogtied. This is something that women have to deal with, and it's not funny.
Yeah. Listen, guys, I'm not condoning it, but what I'm saying is that somewhere in the back of my head, that I see the humor in it. I see where somebody could see the humor in it.
I'm sorry. I don't get the humor in it.
But there's a girl here, and she sees the humor in it as well.
You know what? You know what?
I see the humor, but
she's sick and twisted.
Sick and twisted, but I also know not to walk down the street by myself. I also know I'm not safe pretty much wherever I go at night by myself.
Yeah, but you find the humor in this because a part of you has become desensitized to the objectification that men have on women.
True.
And in order to survive and live as a woman in this fucking, you know, dog fucking lap licking motherfucking men world, you have to, you know, accept this type of shit. But it's wrong.
Part of me still wants to see somebody, like a guy tied up in the backseat.
Yeah, I'm just saying
with
it's
a ball gag,
up.
Maybe? I don't know.
Here is the kicker.
See, then it's okay.
Here is the kicker.
Then it's okay.
Here's the kicker. The model for this photo was the receptionist for the company.
Yeah, she worked there.
She works there. It's fucking bullshit. I'm going to post a picture on the skidrowstudios.com.
Don't even give them the pleasure. Don't even give, this is what they want. They want you posting pictures
you
on
know,
there.
You know what?
Don't
You're
even
right.
give these fuckers the pleasure.
All right.
Let's go down to Texas. Let's grab fucking dick cunt fuck face. What's Kolb or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
I'm going to tell you right Kolb, now. I'm going to tell you right
let's
now.
Let's hogtie this motherfucker and let's put our balls on his head in front of the Skid Row studio sign with Dark Mark electrocuting him.
Better yet.
Electric clown.
You're right. You're right, Simon. And I agree with you. I kind of thought about that. But. Because people got to see this, because how fucked up people are. So what you do is this. They have a Facebook page. Google it, okay? Google it. Hornet signs. Google the Facebook page. Go on their Facebook page. Put a picture of your cock on their page. Tell them to go fuck off. Go to their Facebook page. The guy's name is Brad Kolb, K-O-L-B. Google the company's name. Get the number. Call them up and fuck with them. Just give them prank calls. Tell them they're a bunch of scumbags. Just fuck with them. That's it. Here, I'm going to end with this thing here. Here's how the company kind of made up. He put a banner on his website to donate proceeds to battered women and all this other stuff.
Fuck, I mean, those bitches.
Really?
How about battered white guys from Texas? You know,
listen, and maybe this is enough.
I'm sorry.
This is how he could get away with it, though.
I don't feel bad for battered chicks.
Here's how he could get away with it.
Right.
All right.
He can get away with it?
Yeah. How he can show how he could still advertise. he prints up a shit ton of these and gives them to people for free. But instead of just having that, they put on there, don't let this happen, or they put like rape prevention phone number and all of that stuff.
Why not? You know? Why not?
Because then it does get your attention. It does get your attention, and like, don't let this happen or something. Bring this to attention that this is a problem.
Why don't we castrate him and hang his balls on the back of your truck?
And then he gets his message across, because this was just a stunt to show how realistic it is.
Yeah.
But he could actually put a message underneath saying, stop rape, or this is not, because, you know, that way.
You can't show pictures of rape to stop rape.
Right. That's not how you do it.
But that's somebody. Okay, what about that commercial with the woman, you know, walking in the tight dress and all that, and at the end it says, "Oh, this is not an invitation to rape me."
It's not.
Yeah, agree.
You know what else?
When I'm sleeping, that's also not an invitation to rape me.
Right.
When I'm watching a movie next to Pedro, it's not an invitation to pull my cock out.
When I'm sleeping, it does not give you the fucking.
So you can't stop hunger by showing pictures of fat guys eating hamburgers. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
No, it's fucking. That's insensitive. That's fucking lame. And I hope his company goes out of business. Straight up, I'm sorry.
They won't now.
Of course not. Because he's got so much free publicity. But it's an awareness thing. And I think that it's a double edged sword that I brought it up. It just really fucked with me, especially after reading that.
I couldn't agree 100% with you guys. I mean, it's fucked up. It is fucked up. Don't think that I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, but I understand. Look, nothing is sacred, anymore in this society.
I mean,
we laugh at everything, and I understand where the humor is in this. Is it in bad taste? Absolutely.
I mean, why don't they have a picture of you, Rich, like fucking bound and gagged with Pedro fondling your ass in the back of a fucking pickup?
Why don't we put that on the website?
Put it on the website.
I would do it. Find Pedro. I would do it. But see, that's not an issue. You wouldn't have anybody jumping up and down and you wouldn't have the redhead coalition of the United States.
No, but that would be like, there's a guy fucking a redhead guy in the back of a pickup truck. Same fucking, same effect. And
they could have done that exactly. Yeah. But you know what? It wouldn't have. They chose that because that's where your eyes will go.
In Waco, Texas.
You know
why they chose this? Because they're fucking redneck, objectifying women, fucking racist, insensitive motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. That's why they chose that. Okay? End of story. All right? With that said, we hope that you have taken a couple of moments and given thanks to your higher power for accidentally tuning into the Nestorius Public Radio. Because had you not had faith in a power greater than yourself, who knows what you had been, what you would have been doing for this past hour and whatever minutes. So we want to be thankful to all of you who listen to us, download us, subscribe to our show. Tell somebody about it. Tell your friends. Go to iTunes. Plug in Nestorius Public Radio. Check out the show. Subscribe. Download the episodes. Some pretty dope episodes. There's an interview with the cast and crew of Hell on Wheels, the AMC show. An interview with Common, Anson Mount, and Colm Meaney. And an AMC executive. There's a lot of different things. All these episodes are completely different. Some of them are fucking whacked out, zany, and some of them are really, highly informative. And they're all great, if you're on crystal meth. But, I mean, nonetheless, it's free. The fucking thing is free. We're live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can call in, talk to us. Also, you can go to skidrowstudios.com and listen to us live. And we're on Ustream, am I right? We're on Ustream. You can go to Ustream.
Live stream.
Ustream. We all stream for Ustream.
So you go to livestream.com, put in Skid Row Studios, right? And you'll see all of the shows on Skid Row Studios, not just the Nestorius Public Radio. And it's a fucking trip, man. I mean, there's some fucking crazy shows on this internet psychotic sensation. Anyway,
revolution.
Anyway, that's it from me, Nestorius Public Radio. Thanks a lot. God bless. Be good. Beat the fuck up. Beat the fuck up.
My name is Marisa. I'm a transsexual from the Lower East Side. I'm a third-sexed person, which means I'm a woman living inside what used to be a man's body. That's God's mistake. That's not my fault. That Jesus Christ messed up. He made a mistake, but I need science to fix that shit. I'm looking to find me a white nigga who has a lot of money, who's willing to pay for my tits, and who's not going to be judgmental about my feet. Right, cause my feet, I'm a little self-conscious about my feet. Are you that white nigga?
Please, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me.
W from the wall to the door. What you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA. Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
Many have tried to replicate, many have tried to imitate, but there's only one true underground show. You have called it the real deal in underground extreme music. The Jimmy Cab's Very Manic Show, only on Skid Row Studios every Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Skid Row Studios.